Today is all about gratitude and giving thanks. And as we meet together, as we talk, as we look at this, after we're going to share this meal together and we're going to give words of thanks to God for who He is, what He's done. And so this morning, I want to help us prepare for that praise service, that opportunity to express our gratitude to God. Gratitude is the attitude of appreciation that produces an action of giving thanks. Now, many times those actions are words of thanks, but even more than that, we want to have an action of thanks. We want to have a response of thanks, something that you do, something that motivates you to do something as a result of what God has done in your life. So if you would, in your bulletin, there's a handout, and I would encourage you to pull that out right now, but also open your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the racks in front of you, you'll find Psalm 107 on page 946. 946 there on in those Bibles, if you're using one of the Bibles there in the rack. And I'm going to say this about your note sheet real quick. Okay, this is your worksheet. This is really a worksheet today, because if you wait to write down what's on the screen, it's there. Okay, that's what's going to be on the screen today. So if this is really a worksheet for you to think through some things relative to your story of gratitude. Psalm 107, I want to begin by reading verses 1 through 3. It says there, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." I want to stop right there. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. Obviously, you're like, hey, that's what the first words say. It's a thanksgiving psalm. But I want to talk a little bit, I want to set kind of a little bit of the historical background here, the historical stage of where it's at, what's happening with this. Okay, most likely, and there's not a whole lot to go on, but most likely this psalm was written as what's called a post-exilic psalm. It was after the exile, okay? It was probably written around the same time as the book of Nehemiah. This summer we studied the book of Nehemiah, and what it means to be post-exilic is this, is you had the Israelites who came into the land, they had these kings, and the kings didn't always follow God, and the people didn't always follow God the way they should have, and they kind of went their own way, and eventually God said, hey, there's a consequence for your sin. And the people were taken into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. And after 70 years, God said, okay, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to gather you back together in the land. And so God began to gather them back. And over the next 70 years, they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And they began to get back into their relationship with God. They began to focus on that more. And sometimes they failed, and sometimes they did well. But I believe this psalm was written to those people to remind them of, to identify where they were and where they needed to go and what God wanted to do in their lives. It was written, it says, verse 2, to the redeemed of the Lord. What does it mean to be redeemed? Okay, when we hear that word, for them it meant that they were bought back. God paid for them a second time, if you will. So God had them, they were His people, and He sent them to captivity. They were redeemed or bought back and brought back to the land. And God was redeeming them and bringing them back into his world, if you will. And these people, in verse 1, are commanded to give thanks to the Lord. Why do they give thanks to the Lord? Because He's good. Because God is good. He is full of goodness. What he chooses, what he does is for our good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It says his love endures forever. Now, I'm going to tell you this. That word love doesn't do justice. Maybe your translation said his mercy endures forever. Maybe your translation says his loving kindness endures forever. Maybe it says his faithful love or his loyal love or his covenant loyalty. This word is such a big word that English doesn't do it justice. It has the idea that God's care for his people is so great and is so consistent. He will never give up on it. He will always follow through on it. And he will always demonstrate his love, his covenant loyal love of giving us what is best for us will always, always endure. It says his love endures forever. He doesn't ever forget it. Even in those times when we wonder if God, we sometimes think God has gone silent. But his love endures forever. It never fails us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loyal, compassionate, faithful love to us never runs out. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let them tell their story. Let them say so. Let them say that the God's loyal love endures forever. Let the redeemed say so. In this passage, specifically, as we just said, specifically this refers to those who've returned from exile. But can we use this? God's word is useful for us today. And I would say this, that when we see that, this is talking about God's people. The redeemed here, I think for us, as we look at it and we think about it and we can apply this to our lives. The redeemed, am I one of the redeemed? Am I one who has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus? Has my life been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have I been redeemed? If I am one of the redeemed, then I am supposed to share my story. I am supposed to tell of the goodness and loyal love of God. That's what this passage is all about. That's what this passage is talking about. So today I want to help you write your story. So take your note sheet out. And here's the question. The first question I want you to kind of, and you're not going to be able to answer all of this, so maybe you write down the question and just make some bullet points here. But here's my question for you. What's your story? What's your story? Have you been redeemed by Jesus? Has the gospel become real in your life? Do you recognize that your sin separates you from a holy God? But that God, because of his great love for us, sent his one and only Son to make atonement for our sins. We don't use that word a whole lot, make atonement. What does that mean? It means to cover it over. It means to forgive it. It means to pay the penalty for. It's all of that kind of wrapped up into one, that he made atonement. He made it right. Someone said this one time, that atonement, if you say it differently, it means at one meant. I am at one with God now. God makes me right with him. Through the atonement, he justifies me and makes me right with him. Have I trusted in the death of Jesus to do that for me? Have I trusted him for the forgiveness of my sins? Have I trusted in his resurrection to conquer death and bring hope to my life forever? If you have, that's your story. I want you to take a moment. I want you to think about that. What's your story? I want you to just take a moment and write down a couple thoughts. If you are redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. How and why you came to know Jesus. What change has he made in your life? Now, here's the thing. If you are not redeemed, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus, Jesus is inviting you to place your faith in him today. He wants you to know that he loves you more than anything. That he wants a relationship with you. That he wants to provide you hope for eternal life. He wants to provide you with the Holy Spirit to live inside of you right now to help you manage your life here on this earth. And so maybe you don't have a story of redemption so that you don't feel like, oh man, everybody else is writing. I better pretend to write something down. And I'm going to write my grocery list. No, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this down. What's holding you back from saying yes to Jesus? What are those questions that you still have that you just need to have answered to know for sure that God loves you? So take a moment right now. What's your story? Write some things down on the notes, or maybe you have another piece of paper. What's your story? Psalmist tells us in verse 1 to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story of God's goodness and loyal love to us. But the reality is, we're sitting here today, and for many of us, that can be difficult. Stopping to give thanks can be a hard thing, can it? A lot of us have a ton of stuff going on in our lives. And while maybe, okay, it's Thanksgiving week, I can, we'll sit around the Thanksgiving table and we'll say something we're thankful for this year and we'll make up something. You're having a hard time feeling real gratitude and thanks. Life's just been hard. You've been going through tough things or distractions or whatever. And you're just not sure you're ready to give thanks. The cool thing is that Psalm 107 is an amazing passage that can teach us how to give thanks when life doesn't seem something we're grateful for. You see, in verses 4 through 32, there are four different scenarios that the psalmist kind of repeats. Four different kinds of situations in which we might find ourselves where we can still thank God. And what I want to do here this morning is I want to take a moment and consider these life situations and see if we can identify with some of them in one way or another. Maybe not the specific details, but in general principles, do we identify with these? And does it help us? Can we see how we can still give thanks? Look with me at verse 4. Verses 4 and 5 say this: some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Anybody feeling like that today? Anybody feeling empty? Spent? Exhausted? Wasted? Do you feel like you're wandering around life without direction or purpose or a place to rest? The second group of people is identified in verse 10. It says this: some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. This one tells us that some of us are in a deep, dark place, facing severe consequences for our bad choices, our sin. We've made our bed, now we must lie in it. We've sinned, and now our lives are really complicated because we're dealing with the consequences of our sin. Do you wonder if God might ever forgive you for what you've done? And you sit here and you say, I want to give thanks, but I don't know if I can. I'm in such a hard place, and I'm not sure if I do it'll make any difference, because I'm not sure God would ever forgive me or hear my thanks anyway. Some sit in darkness. Verse 17 tells us this: some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Now this group is a little different than the last one. This is a group, this says it's fools. What with the fools, it's not like they've done things and then they've gotten in trouble. It's like they just keep making really stupid decisions. And they just kind of get into this weird place. And mentally and emotionally, they're not in a place where they're making the right choices. It says they suffered affliction because of their iniquities. And they hated food, and they drew near to death. And they just weren't sure. They had these inner emotional struggles. And maybe for some of us here today, we are facing the guilt and shame that comes when we sin. And there's this inner turmoil, and we might wonder if God even still cares about us. And then verse 23, it says this, it says, some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, had wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. This says there's some people who are just going about their daily business. And they see God doing some cool things, but at a distance. And the reality is, then all of a sudden, life overwhelms them. This picture of being out on the sea and the waves just beating you, crashing and knocking us and knocking down your courage. You ever feel like life's just beating you up? It's tossing you around like a rag doll. In this psalm that starts with "Give thanks to the Lord," And it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." And then he says, some of the redeemed have been tossed around by the waves of life. Some of the redeemed have been fools in what they do. Some of the redeemed have been rebellious and faced consequences, difficulties. Some of the redeemed are just wandering and are fainting because they're just worn out. My guess is that each one of us in this room can relate to at least one of these situations. Maybe not right now, but maybe it's been in our past. There's been times where we realize that life's just not moving the direction I wish it did. Maybe some of us are here right now, and telling my story of thanks is going to be easy. So here's what I want you to do now. On your little note sheet, you start off, you say, what's your story? How were you redeemed? Now I want you to talk about, what are you going through right now? What is it that life is throwing at you right now? Okay? Take a moment, write something down. What's life throwing at you right now? It might be good, it may be bad, it may be awful, like what some of these things are in the text. It may be cool stuff, like Mark. Congratulations, Mark. Mark Forsberg had a little baby boy this week. Okay, maybe it's good stuff. What are you going through right now? What's your story? Now, here's the good thing about this passage. It's identified some tough situations. But now what it does, it says, here's how you can give thanks no matter what your story is. Here's what you can do. Look with me in this passage. Each of those four sections that I kind of highlighted by, and if you're looking at the text, you look for the word some, because that's where each section starts. Starts in verse 4 with some, and verse 10 with some, and then again in verse, where'd it go? I lost it. 17, there it is, and then again in verse 23. Okay, and it kind of breaks it down. It's like pretty obvious. So what does it say after that? It gives us the reaction of God's people. It gives us the reaction of the redeemed and what God does and how we should respond, because it then goes to this. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. You see that in verse 6? Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Here's the thing. What's the point? Whatever life is giving to you, cry out to the Lord in your trouble. Whatever it is you're facing right now, cry out to the Lord in your trouble. When life gets overwhelming, there is only one place, actually one person that we can turn to, and that is God. And if we will turn to God and cry out to Him in our place of need, in our place of distress, something good's going to happen. Because you know what happens in each of these verses? Look again at verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Now this half the verse, it's a little different in each place. In verse 13 it says, and He saved them from their distress. And in verse 19 it says, He saved them from their distress. In verse 28, and He brought them out of their distress. No matter the reason for their troubles, when you cry out to the Lord, He will deliver you from your distress. Even if you're the one responsible for them. That's what this says. The only problem is this. It doesn't tell us how long we might have to endure through that distress. Because I'm sure there are people here today who have been crying out to the Lord in their distress, and you said, I'm not hearing an answer. Is God still listening? He is. For the Israelites, for these Israelites, now it probably was their father, maybe their grandfathers. 70 years they were in captivity and distress before God heard their cry and before God responded to their cry in a way that they would know it. But God will always hear our cries and respond and deliver us from our distress. So let me ask you two questions now about your story. Go back to your handout. What's your story? What's your past? What's happening right now? Now I want you to be honest about this question. What keeps you from crying out to God in your time of need? What holds you back from crying out to God in your time of need? Maybe you don't think He cares anymore. Maybe you don't think He'll answer. Maybe you say, I've tried that before and it just doesn't work. Maybe it's because you think you can handle it yourself. Maybe it's your pride. What keeps us from holding back, from not crying out to Him? And then this, if there's something holding you back right now, I want you to think back on your life. Have you ever experienced the deliverance of God? Have you ever experienced the salvation of God at some previous time in your life? Write that down. Where has God delivered you from your distress in the past? I think it's important for us to remember those times. Because these Jews, they had a whole history of crying out to God. I mean, you think about it, this could have been written during the time of the judges. Every time you turned around, they did what was right in their own eyes, and they started to follow other gods, and they got into trouble, and God brought judgment, and then they cried out to Him in their distress, and He provided a judge. And He's doing it again here post-exile. If you remember when we studied Nehemiah, He's like, hey, we're going to follow God. We're going to follow God. Yay, yay, yay. And just a few years later, they're like, oh, we're doing all those things we said we weren't going to do. Because we tend to run in cycles in our lives. And we have to remember that God will always hear us when we cry out in our distress. And He will deliver us. And when we stop and we think about our current situation and we challenge ourselves, why don't I cry out in my distress? And then we say, hey, I'm going to cry out in my distress and I believe that God will answer me, even if He hasn't just yet. What is then our response to God's deliverance of us? Look at verse 8. It says this, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. That's the same word as His mercies endure forever. His loving kindness, His loyal love, His faithful love. Right here, His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The psalmist says that when we cry out to God in our distress and He delivers us, we can give thanks whatever the situation we find ourselves in. And it's interesting, let's go back and think about this again. The second group of people are people who are suffering in iron chains because of their rebellion against God. And it says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them from their distress. Verse 14, He brought them out of utter darkness and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Look at verse 21. This is for the fools who've been rebellious against God. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds to mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. And then again, look down at verse 28. It says they cried out to the Lord. These are the merchants. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them in their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. We can thank God. And we must thank God when He delivers us from our distress. This is so simple in some ways, that whatever life throws our way, whatever wrong way we go in life, God expects one reaction, and that is this, that we would cry out to Him in our times of need. He will hear us, and then we give Him thanks for what He does, for His steadfast love. I don't know the tough life situations that each of you are going through right now. But I do know how God wants us to react in response to Him. As I read this psalm, I think we need to think about, okay, am I crying out to God in my trouble the way I should be? Am I ready to give thanks to Him? This brings us to the end of the psalm, verses 33 through 43, which tells us that we don't always know what God is doing or why He's doing it. See, here's where it's kind of hard because we, you know, like I cry out to God. I don't get the answers I want. It's not as quickly. Life's not as good as what I thought it might be. And we get confused by who God is and what he's done. And so the psalmist ends this way. And he says, know that God is doing something. He's working on purpose, even if you don't know what it is. Look at verse 33. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. Sometimes bad things happen because of sin. Verse 35, he turned the desert into pools of water, the parched grounds into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Sometimes good things happen after bad things, simply because God wants to show his love to us. So sometimes good things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes good things happen after bad things. And when good things happen after bad things, we have to be careful because complacency and pride and all of that can set in. Because it says here, verse 39, then their numbers decreased and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He pours contempt on nobles and made them wander in a trackless waste. You see, here what happens is bad things happened when they got too comfortable with their good things that God had given them. And then verse 41 says, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased the families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. But affliction, even when deserved, isn't permanent. Eventually, God brought good back to them. I think these verses in 33 through 42 kind of give you a kind of a summary of Israel's history, up and down and up and down. And it kind of is a summary of our own lives, of up and down and up and down, isn't it? Committed to God and then doing my own thing, and then committed to God and doing my own thing, and it's back and forth and back and forth. And know that through all of that, God is faithful and will answer us when we cry out to him in our distress. And when he does, we can give thanks to God, for he is good. His loyal love endures forever. And love verse 43, it says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. You know what that means is this, is in all circumstances, you need to pay attention to what's happening. If life's going great for you right now, you need to pay attention to these words, because if you let complacency and pride get in the way, you may be facing a trial real soon that you deserve because of your choices. If you're going through a difficulty and a trial that you deserve, understand God will answer you if you call out to him. If you're going through a tough time and there's nothing wrong in your life, not that you're perfect, but that you're like, I don't know, this isn't a consequence of sin, but I'm going through a tough time, and we cry out to God and he doesn't answer the way we want. He says, look, know that God is still in control of everything around us. He's doing what is best, no matter what. And when the more the wise see that, the more we realize that, the more we know we can give thanks to God, for he is good, because his loyal love endures forever. What's your story? If you are the redeemed, you need to share your story. And maybe you've come through a rough patch and you have a story to tell of thanksgiving to God today. You need to share your story. You know, look back at verse 31 and 32. It says there, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. We need to share our stories with each other. Because while you may be the one coming out of a trial and you want to give thanks to God, somebody else may be entering the same trial and need to know that God will answer in their distress. That God is with them through those difficulties and struggles and trials. And so we share our stories with one another. One of the things that always happens when we get to praise and potluck, we're going to eat first, and then at some point we'll give you the couple minute warning, and then we want you to share your stories. What's God doing? Nobody wants to be first. Okay, so you've already written out a bunch of things, thoughts here. You don't have to think about what you need to say. You have plenty of time over the next probably hour before we start talking to say, what's God doing? What's God done? How can I encourage one another? How can I encourage somebody else who's here today? Because here's the thing. You don't know. Maybe someone up here has a story that somebody back there needs to know. But because you always sit here, you never rub shoulders with them back there. And they'll never know your story. So we get up here and we tell our stories. Our stories aren't to say, hey, look at me, look what I've done. It's to say, hey, God is faithful. Give thanks to the Lord because He's good. Is God good? His faithful love endures forever. Does God demonstrate His faithful love to you? Then let the redeemed tell their story of God's faithful love and goodness. And in that, we encourage one another toward love of God as well. In a moment, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to receive the offering. And you have your connection card there. Maybe you don't have a connection card. There's extras there. And maybe you're like, you know what, I just can't tell my story. I can't say it out loud. It's too hard to say it in front of a group. But maybe you want to write down your story. You can write down your story. You can drop it in the offering plate. Before I come down, I'm going to grab them. I'm going to look at those and see if there's stories that need to be told. And maybe it won't be today. Maybe it'll be a different time. We'll tell them anonymously if you want. Okay, I'm not going to tell your story without your permission unless it's anonymous. But we tell our stories of who God is. One, to obey Him because He tells us to. But we do it to encourage one another because God is good and His faithful love endures forever.